and the praises of his people. One of the scriptures that we heard read this morning is from the beginning of the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, and I want to just reread some of the verses right there from the beginning of chapter 6, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Those who spoke Greek complained against those who spoke Hebrew, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. And I would just remind everyone that after the death of Judas, that he was replaced by another. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. We apostles should spend our time preaching and teaching the word of God, not administering a food program, they said. Now look among yourselves, brothers, and select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer and preaching and teaching the word. This idea pleased the whole group, and so they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a Gentile convert to the Jewish faith, who had now become a Christian. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. That's what I'm going to look at, that passage of Acts 6 from 1 through 8. This is packed. As interesting as it is, as we hear it in one reading, there is so much that goes on in this small passage of Scripture that it will set us back on our heels, I think. It's really quite something. Now, the first time I read this, and maybe even the 20th time I read this, Matt, could you bring my mic down just a little bit, or at least in the monitors? The first time I read this, my sense of it was, well, aren't these apostles important? They can't be bothered with taking care of the widows, and so they've got to get somebody else to do it for them. Now, it doesn't really say that, but that was sort of the first impression I got. We're busy, you know, doing the really important things of ministry, so find somebody else to do these things. And since the apostles apparently were at least some of those who were doing this distribution of food, then they must be, perhaps, some of those who were guilty of not properly distributing it to those who spoke Greek. So here you have these guys that sound like they're sort of full of themselves and they're not doing a very good job at this anyway, and now they're trying to get somebody else to take up the slack. Don't think that's really what is at work here. It is clear that there was some difficulty in the widows who spoke Greek being fed. And one of the injunctions that we have from Scripture is that we're to take care of the widows and children and those in need among us and around us. And so for some reason, those who spoke Hebrew, the widows, were being fed, and those who spoke Greek, either they weren't being fed properly or they had a sense that they weren't. So the 12 call a meeting of all the believers. And the translation is, we apostles should spend our time preaching and teaching the word of God, not administering a food program. There's some interesting things going on in this one sentence. First of all, when it says we should spend our time, the Greek actually says we should not neglect. We should not neglect the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. And when it says administering a food program, the Greek is diakonio trapeze, which means wait on tables. That's literally what it means. We should be preaching and teaching the word of God, not waiting on tables. And the word there, diakonia, is the root of our word deacon. And so when we talk about the ministry of deacons in the church, this is one of the passages which is looked at where the idea of deacons as ministers in the church comes from. And the sense of this very often is because what the deacons were doing was taking care of the physical needs of the believers, that somehow is a lesser ministry than the other important one that the apostles and the priests and pastors do today, which is sharing the word. We get that sense of it somehow. But look at what really happens here. Deacon, that would be the word for waiter in Greek. And so if you're at a table in a restaurant, you want more water, you would say, deacon, more water. So it's just the common word for waiter. The word deacon is also the word used for the people who ministered at the table in the temple, at the altar in the temple, the ones who set it up, who put bread on it and the offerings, who assisted the priests and the Levites. Those who helped there were deacons in the temple as well. Same word is used for that. But clearly there's something going on here about feeding people, and feeding people in need particularly. And so is what the apostles are saying, you know, we have to do important stuff. Get some people in here to sort of take care of the tables or take care of the widows and get them fed. Well, look at what it says. It says, verse 3, now look around among yourselves, brothers, Adelphos in Greek, brothers and sisters, and select 7 men. It actually is male here in the Greek. Now, we do know of women deacons. Phoebe was one, for instance, described as a deacon. Not even a deaconess. The word used for Phoebe in Greek is male when she's described as a deacon. But here it happens that in this sentence it says, select 7 men who are well respected. The word there in Greek is the same as our word martyr. And it doesn't mean 7 men who are martyrs. The word martyr means witness. And so what he's saying is, select 7 men the testimony about or the witness about is good. In other words, people of good character, people that others will witness to or testify about, and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Sophia in Greek. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now, if their idea is, you know, just get some people who are, you know, just get some lackeys who could sort of clean up here, why would a requirement of feeding the widows be that you were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom? Clearly, what's going on here has got to be, in the minds and hearts of the apostles, extraordinarily more important than what we might consider a lowly job. These people have to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to qualify to take over this ministry. We will put them in charge of this business, it says here. The word in Greek really means need. We'll put them in charge of this need. Then we can spend our time in prayer and preaching and teaching the word. Now that's really interesting, because if you look back, what they said just a moment ago was, so that we don't neglect preaching and teaching the word. And now actually what it says is we can devote ourselves in prayer. And it's translated preaching and teaching the word, but what it really says is diakonia logos. Diakonia logos. What's translated preaching and teaching the word in Greek is diakonia. Same word. Logos, which means word. When in the beginning of John it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's the word, logos. It's both the word of God and Jesus as the enfleshed word of God. And so what it's saying here is, so that we don't neglect the preaching and teaching of the word, appoint some who are full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit to take care of these needs, this ministry, so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. And it's the same word. Serving tables, feeding the people with the word of God. That's what's going on here. It's all about feeding. And some of it is feeding to meet our physical needs, and some of it is feeding to meet the hunger of our souls. The idea pleased the whole group, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then I'll move past these names just to go further. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. They clearly took this very seriously. This was not get some lesser people to do this lesser ministry. This was an extraordinarily important ministry, but it was consuming enough of the apostles' time that they were neglecting what it was that they had been assigned to do. The ministry they'd been given to do, which was the preaching and the teaching of the word, the serving of the word, diakonia logos, the serving of the word. So that they could do that, they had others who would serve in this other way, and they laid hands on them. Verse 7, God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. We might say in part because they now had the opportunity, the time, and no longer neglected it or weren't forced to neglect it. The number of believers, the word in Greek is disciples, so it's not just the 12 who were the disciples of Jesus, but all who are believers. The number of disciples greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted. What the Greek actually says is a great company of Jewish priests became obedient to the faith. That's literally what it says. Think about what a profound effect this must have had on Jerusalem. That a great company of the Jewish priests, hieros in Greek, and I'll come to that in a minute, became obedient to the faith, became believers. Now what's extraordinary about, and then Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, dunamis, dynamite, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. This lackey who was just now going to wait tables while the apostles did the important things, what it says here is that he was full of grace and power. And he performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. And if you read in the 6th and 7th chapters of Acts, you'll read as Stephen preached the word from Genesis through the crucifixion and ascension, and was then stoned to death for doing it, and looked up into heaven and saw Jesus at the right hand of God, and asked for forgiveness for those who had just stoned him. And then his spirit was received into Jesus' hands. That's Stephen, this lesser lackey, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that there's an extraordinarily important message in this for us. Probably many, but one of them is this. The church as it's structured today in the historical denominations has, when we think about it, we think that there are three sort of levels of ministry. There's deacons and priests and bishops. And if in the Roman church, archbishops and cardinals and a pope, I mean, the hierarchy goes even further there. And I think when we're not immersed in Scripture, we think about the church sort of in that structure. But Pope Gregory the Great, who was the pope of the whole church at the time he lived, it hadn't split into East and West yet, although there was some contention. The Protestant Reformation hadn't occurred yet. Gregory, if you read about his life, was an extraordinary servant. And what he said about himself as the chief pastor of the whole church was that he was the servant of the servants of God. If we read in the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer, it starts on page 845. If you have a Book of Common Prayer, I'd encourage you this week to go and read the Catechism. If you don't, you can borrow one or read it here. You can take it home if you need to. Just bring it back. Starts on page 845. It's a very straightforward, very simple, and very good description of the faith and what it's about. And what's so interesting is under the heading of ministry, the ministry, on page 855, this is the question, who are the ministers of the church? And the answer is, the ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. And note who is first in that list. It's not by accident. The laos, the people, that's just what the word means, is the people of God. The primary first ministry of the church is the body of Christ. It's the believers. The people referred to in the New Testament as the saints. not just those who have done extraordinary deeds. Believers are referred to in Scripture as the saints. And further, believers are referred to in Scripture as priests. The priesthood of all believers. And the word used there for priest is hieros, the same word used to describe the Jewish priests who had become obedient to the faith, and the same word used to describe Jesus as the great high priest. Same word. The word to describe me, although I'm called a priest in the Church of God, is presbyter, presbyteros in Greek, and it means simply elder, which my gray hairs will testify to. The sense of that is that there are some who are ordained by the church to special roles, but their special role ultimately, in one way or another, is to be servant to the servants of God, servant to the ministers of the church, the wide, broad, deep ministers of the church who are us. And so my role is to equip and to empower and to teach and to love and care for in order to empower the priesthood of all believers to live in its assigned role, which is to minister the gospel to the world, which desperately needs it. And the role of the deacons, the diaconate, is to serve God's people and to serve the world where it's in need. Always, these ordained roles are intended to be service to the whole body, to the whole ministry, as well as to the world. And bishop, for that matter, in our day, bishop is a hierarchical authority. In the time of the New Testament, bishop was the equivalent of elder. The two words, presbyteros and episcope, were used interchangeably. And what happened over time as the church grew is the church said, you know what, the people who are elders in the local congregations, the presbyters, need pastoring too. Let's appoint the most mature, the most godly, the most full of the Holy Spirit of the presbyters, and ask them also, in addition to being elder in their own congregations, to mentor and to pastor other elders as they are raised up in other congregations. And that's how the role of bishop became pastor to the pastors. Now, in many churches, it doesn't look like that. It's an administrative role, and they sort of run the way the church is organized. But that clearly was not the intention in the early ministry of the church, but rather a means to help those who were called to be servant to the servants of God in their own spiritual formation, their own life. And so the message here from Acts chapter 6 and throughout Scripture, the message that Jesus brought and that the early church began to understand and live out, is that all of us are called, all of us are given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Those gifts vary. They're distributed throughout the body. They differ from person to person. But all told, this is the body of Christ, with all the gifts that he had present in one person. And in every case, save one, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to the individuals, not for their benefit, but for the benefit of those that they touch and bless in their lives. They are poured through individuals to minister to others. The sole exception to that is the gift of tongues, which is described as having several roles, one of which is the edification of the prayer. That's the only gift that's described in Scripture, a gift of the Holy Spirit, which isn't clearly intended to pour through one person to minister to others. So even though we call them gifts and we talk about what gifts do I have, the sense of it isn't I get full of these gifts and that makes me important, but rather the gifts are given so that others might be blessed through me, which requires not pride but humility for those gifts to operate. So the call on the church, illustrated so clearly here in Acts, is that the body of Christ, the believers, the disciples, all of us, are called to share His Word, to share the good news of redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness and eternal life. And that's the first ministry of the church, of all of the people of the church. And then there are additional ministries given to the church for its building up and its learning and its training. But those are servant ministries to serve the people of God and those who are yet outside of the kingdom, to encourage the people of God to draw others into the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that each of us, each one of us, would truly be full of Your Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and that we might all be ministers of Your service and Your truth and Your Word, and especially of the good news of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.